Hello, everybody. Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise Podcast number 182 on January 9th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so that I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles for all those people out there who are interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And don't forget, there is an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic pegging toys, and lots of other toys, too, and they can be purchased from the little black dress of pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase that you make. Okay, everybody, welcome to the second Crossdressers podcast. I'm so excited. You guys sent me in so much cool stuff. So a little bit of history. The very first Crossdressers podcast I did was number 131, and that was in April of 2016. And you all sent me in some amazing stories, and I read them all. I'm going to put a link to that podcast in the Linkorama, so if you want to check that one out too, you can. A number of you who contributed this time were kind enough to also send links for some of your favorite shopping places, which I think is fucking awesome. So I'm going to put all those in the Linkorama too. So that'll be cool, all combined in the same place if you want to go on a little shopping spree to pretty yourself up. And two more announcements before we start. One is that there was an unfortunate mix-up for podcast number 181. Oh, I put all the right stuff there. I recorded it and everything. And then I just sort of went on a brain freeze and I put podcast number 180 link up there. Well, unfortunately, what happens for some of you who have podcast downloader apps is it's already downloaded. And so unless you delete it and then download it again, you're not going to get 181. I corrected it, but I corrected it not soon enough for those podcast downloader apps to get the right one. And in other cases, it might be that your cache is simply coming, it needs to be cleared because it's coming up with the old stuff. So those are the two suggestions that I have. The two places that the podcast is posted is on Patreon as well as on peggingparadise.com. I'm hoping that iTunes is okay as well. It has been fixed. I apologize for the mix-up. There is a brand new 181 podcast there. Didn't mean to like blow your mind and give you a repeat and hope to pass it on. So, okay. And let's see, the last announcement before we start reading your contributions is that the next special podcast submission deadline is February 10th for the bisexuality podcast. So all of you bisexual men out there, I just want to hear your story, whatever it is. Maybe you just fantasize about it. Maybe you do it. Maybe you would like to try it. You're bi curious. Whatever level of bi you are, I want to hear how it is in your life, what it's like, if your partner knows, if they accept it. Just tell me your truth. Tell me your story. Tell me your successes, your struggles. I want to hear it all. And that is it for the announcements. So let us get to your letters. Yes. A little about me. I'm a 33-year-old bisexual cross-dressing black man in southern Texas. I have been cross-dressing for as long as I can remember. It all started with my neighbor. Growing up, a wonderful elderly woman with a granddaughter that I played with all the time in the summers when school was out. In normal southern fashion, my parents would have my brother and I go over and trim trees and hedges, cut grass, and do general outdoor maintenance for her and her husband, who was a disabled veteran. We would spend the day working, listen to stories about the history of our area we grew up in, and then we would each receive $10 and a Coke in a bottle for our services. This was the routine until I was 7. Until one day, Mama Orr's husband fell in their living room, and when trying to catch himself, he grabbed a hold of the mannequin Mama Orr used to make dresses for their granddaughter. Fortunately, he was fine and no worse for wear, but the mannequin was irreparably destroyed. Mama Orr was recounting the incident with my mother some days later, leading to my mother offering me to stand in for the mannequin until the dress was finished and she could get a new mannequin. In typical boyish fashion, I gave protest, but deep down, I knew that this was my opportunity, and I was not going to waste it. I helped with the making of 3 dresses, each a little more intricate than the last. I continued to play the partially grumbly boy that was doing what my mother asked me to do, while still loving every minute I could. While making each dress, when Mama Orr would step away for a cigarette or bathroom break, I would step away and look at myself in the mirror. I still remember feeling only what I can describe as the feeling of being pretty. The dresses were always so much softer than the normal clothes that I wore. This sensation I can still feel to this day. The dresses always felt warm and homey, like they were where I was meant to be. From time to time, during the process, I would have to do a twirl or runway walk for her to see how the dress would move. This quickly became my favorite part of the process, though I would try to not let on to this fact. We would eventually finish a dress and move into another one. I tend to think that she liked the company, and I was far less fussed than her granddaughter, who was a complete tomboy. I still remember the day that it all came to an end. My mother, being the kind and loving person that she was, bought a new dress form for Mama Orr. The worst part was I had to carry it into Mama's house and build the item of my discontent in her living room, all the while trying to maintain my composure. I was furious. This item was taking my place. Nonetheless, I got through it without breaking my bearing and letting any of my dismay show. I still remember her hugging me and saying, "Lulu, thank you so much for being a good boy and putting everything back to rights." I was happy to make her happy, but inwardly I was crushed that the time of easily getting dressed as a girl was over. Lulu was the nickname she called me. Fast forward through to my mid-teens, I was dating an amazing girl, though I was still a little awkward about myself. Through many countless hours of research in the local junior college of our hometown, I had all but made peace with being a cross-dresser. There was nothing wrong with me. There was only one problem. My girlfriend was completely anti-anything that wasn't traditional. Though she filled a place in my heart and was amazing to share my time and life with at that point, I recognized early that I was not sharing all of me with her. I was hiding in plain sight and knew I could never be all of me. I could never be Lulu. As you can guess, at 15, you don't expect to have to make the tough decisions, but I could not live with myself knowing that I was lying to her. I loved being Lulu in my room, and if I was going to be with someone, I wanted them to be with all of me. I broke it off and resigned to being single unless I could be honest with the people I dated. It worked. I've had 4 very meaningful and long relationships, and 3 of which with full pegging on the table from day 1. And the last being my lover, my life, and partner for the last 11 years. I am blessed enough that my wonderful wife enjoys the best of having both worlds. She loves me as Joe and as Lulu Joe. When she is in the mood to be pinned and pawed, we always make time for it. When I am in the mood to be her wifey, we make sure to set aside time for it. I tend to be a size queen, which suits my wife just fine, as she likes to play with the big boys that have lots of length, as well as girth. I am looking forward to our next scheduled pegging session with the glee of a schoolgirl. I love to have things of non-traditional shapes in our pegging sessions. We have mostly bad dragon toys, and the Tantus Haas, and quite a few other lesser-sized silicone dildos. My wife's goal for 2018 is to peg me with her large Fenrir by Christmas. I look forward to the earth-shattering meltdown that will cause. Her goal for last year was the Griffin and the Haas to the same effect. As she says, "I just love to see large, beautiful things in your big, beautiful, fat behind." Not sure if I can say ass. Yes, you can absolutely say ass on my podcast. To go on. To touch on the size for just a moment, I enjoy all sizes for distinct reasons. I like my smalls because they leave me with a sense of longing desire for more. That is magic in itself. The feeling of smaller toys that are 1.5 inches in girth or less and are 6 inches and shorter lack the distance to touch a lot of my deepest points, but make up for it in dexterity. With these, I am not, for lack of a better term, impaled or impeded, lending my play to be focused on speed and voracity, which become the name of the game. Whether it is self-play, in the shower, or with my partner, they are used with no remorse and as much conviction. With my larger toys, I tend to be the opposite. They are a slow burn of sorts and lend themselves to a heavy stretch that can be felt hours, if not days, after the play is over. The feeling of girth and sheer weight on my prostate with these toys is amazing. But like most things, the problem is time. Our sessions usually are spur-of-the-moments. Due to scheduling, the child is like herding cats. I tend to only have time to get in stockings when I'm lucky. My wife thinks I'm sexiest in a pair of jeans, which show off my ass, and a tight shirt when I have my breast forms on. I tend to be more theatrical when it comes to dressing. I love to dress total for her. Stocking, garters, panties, breast forms, lingerie, and even an anklet and heels. I feel like I'm myself a present for her. My favorite part about cross-dressing is the transition. I always feel like I'm transforming into the superheroine of the story. To be honest, Lulu only amplifies the best parts of me. She's sweeter, more empathetic, and always the life of the party, even if at times she can be a bit shy. My least favorite part is taking it all off after going out. I always feel like the genie being placed back in the lamp and not knowing when she can come out again. But thankfully, my wife looks forward to being able to have time with her best guy and girlfriend, as she puts it. In my 20s, I used to dress 2 to 3 times a week as Lulu, going clubbing, drag bars with friends. Yet, due to changes in my life, I'm lucky if I get to dress once a month, this being the blessing of parenthood, and I mean that with all sincerity. Lulu is never very far from the surface, as I tend to wear at least an anklet every day, if not more. To the average onlooker, I am what one would think is nothing more than a typical fish assassin, a typical beach-loving outdoorsy guy, and that is how I'd like to keep it. Yet to my inner circle of friends and family, I am all that and more. It's easiest to say the number of people in my world that don't know or just don't want to bring it up is very small, and the ones who know, love, and support me, no one except Lulu Joe, is very vast. I even remember the day that my mom finally told me that she supported me. I had gotten my ears pierced and came home to visit. She didn't make a fuss, hoop, or holler. She just sat next to me, put my chin in her hand, and told me, "You would have made a beautiful daughter, and I think it would have been nice, but I did not know how to do girls' hair, so I am glad you get to deal with it on your own." In conclusion, I have to say that I am thankful for where I am, and that I can have such good people around me. I am thankful that people like you, Ruby, continue to educate and evangelize the subject of pegging. Please keep making it a better world. Lulu Joe. Wow, Lulu Joe, thank you for sending that in.
Yes.
My first experience in cross-dressing was when I was 10 or 11 years old and I tried on my mother's bra when no one was around. I never did it again because I was a good Catholic boy and thought that I was committing a mortal sin. I did become a cross-dresser about 6 or 7 years ago when I wanted to explore my feminine side. I first started by wearing panties and progressed from there. I found it exciting to go shopping by myself and buy female clothing. I wear female underclothes all of the time now. I love the female body and would love to have large breasts and be able to have continuous orgasms like real women do. I have a pretty strong feminine side, and I have thought that women's clothes have always been much nicer than men's. I'm lucky that my lover is very understanding and helpful in picking out outfits and helping me become more feminized. I had 2 female longtime friends that when I tried to tell them that I wanted to become more feminine, they rejected me. Occasionally I go out feminine, and I'm sort of comfortable but not ready to do it all of the time. Kirsten. By the way, I found a California website that carries a line of feminizing underwear. swimwear and leggings called koalaswim.com for those that might be interested in hiding their bulge when they are wearing a skirt or something feminine. And of course, I'll put that in the linkorama for you. Kirsten, thank you so much for this contribution.
Yes.
I'm not sure I qualify as a crossdresser. I did read the questions you listed in your post, but I'm not sure I have answers to them, as my experience is fairly limited. My first experience crossdressing was in high school. It was a tradition on Halloween that cheerleaders would pick an athlete to wear their uniform to school, and they would in turn wear whatever sports uniform the athlete would wear. It was supposed to be funny seeing a big guy in the cheerleading uniform. Unfortunately for me, I was not a hulking athlete. I had 1980s long hair, was thin, tan, and had fairly hairless arms and legs. I spent the day getting catcalled by guys in the halls that thought I was a girl. When I turned around, they were horrified. This experience was not a turn-on and reinforced my belief that it was important that I never go to prison. Strangely, cheerleaders making guys wear their uniforms to school never dawned on me as kinky back then. Sounds like a cliché fetish video now. Many years went by, and I never cross-dressed, never kept a secret box in the closet with women's clothes, didn't fantasize about it, nothing. A professional dominatrix I had met at an event sent out a request to her mailing list, needing someone to spend a day cleaning her house, dungeon, and car. In return, she would do a free session. I was selected. I hadn't sessioned with her before, but had plans to do so. Lucky break for me. I arrived at her downtown Los Angeles loft, and we sat and chatted for about 15 minutes, not about anything kinky. She asked me what I was going to wear while I cleaned. I said I was fine wearing what I had on. She had me follow her to the middle of the room in front of a mirror. She said she was surprised that I didn't bring a maid outfit, and asked if I was into cross-dressing. I started on a long-winded explanation on how it wasn't my thing, and I really wasn't into it. She told me that I can't wear street clothes while serving her, and to strip and wait there. She came back and quickly dressed me in black lingerie, panties, garters, nylons, bra. She added heels with locking ankle cuffs. She turned towards the mirror and laughed and said, "Well, it really isn't about what you're into, is it?" I stood there feeling ridiculous, nervous, embarrassed, and totally humiliated. In a span of a few minutes, she had used a few pieces of clothing to snatch my identity from me and change the whole situation to her advantage. I fumbled around her home in those heels, cleaning for 8 hours or so. Since then, I haven't been able to stop fantasizing about being cross-dressed by a woman. After that experience, I have had a couple of kinky girlfriends that would put me in women's clothes from time to time. While folding laundry with a girlfriend, she noticed I was doing a very detailed and thorough job of folding one of her bikinis and said, "You really seem attached to that bikini." I just laughed nervously. We came home later that night after drinking at a bar, and she told me to go get my bikini because she wanted to see me in it. I spent a lot of time in that bikini over the course of our relationship. We never talked about it, but knew we both liked it. I was embarrassed by it, but she would always prompt it and prompt it often. "I had a rough day at work. It would be awesome if you were wearing the purple bikini and holding a glass of wine for me when I walk in the door." I have never felt feminine while cross-dressing or in touch with a female side or my perception of what being female feels like. I don't cross-dress alone. I think it is more about roles and control with me. I don't mean that men are in control and women aren't, but more from the standpoint of the norms and subconscious structure that clothes represent. And I've always been drilled into my brain over a lifetime. The optics are powerful, but even the way women's clothes feel and fit exert some power over me. I haven't acted upon it, but I fantasize about being taken out by a woman in public to a kink event, cross-dressed with makeup and a wig. No backup clothes, no turning back, miles from home. Terrifying and exhilarating at the same time. I am not sure this is what you wanted for your podcast, but do with it as you will. I look forward to listening. Alex. Thank you, Alex, for sending that in. I enjoyed reading it.
Yes.
This next letter is unusual in that it is the partner of a crossdresser, and they have both contributed, so I decided to read both of them. My husband and I are longtime listeners and very much appreciate and respect your work. We are really looking forward to your upcoming podcast on crossdressing and bisexuality and wanted to share our story with you. My husband, Midnight Express, who wrote his own submission, and I share a very open, very exploratory sex life. We both identify as bisexual, although I haven't had very many sexual encounters with women. My husband has been playing with men for most of his adult life, both before our relationship and currently. We are in a sexually open relationship and love to enjoy playmates together and separately. We started strap-on play really early in our relationship at my prompting and before I knew about his bisexual activities. It was incredibly hot, and we talked through all of our fantasies and grew together in exploring them. I always loved to dress up in fishnets, leather corsets, wigs, makeup, and heels. One day my husband showed interest in trying out the fishnets. We talked about how excited I get fucking him and how I want to fuck a woman with my strap-on, and the conversation led to him expressing that he was excited by the idea of him being pampered and dressed up by me in preparation for sex. We planned a date and picked an outfit. The lead-up was incredibly stimulating. I started with his makeup, liquid eyeliner, eyeshadow, mascara, bright red lips. Next, we slowly dressed him in his fishnets and a black lacy nightie. He was timid, but clearly enjoying himself. I was actually shy myself and a little worried that I wouldn't enjoy seeing my husband like that. Lastly, I put a blonde, sexy wig on him to complete the look. It was actually really hot, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I bent him over, spread his legs, and entered him. Watching him thrust towards me, my cock penetrating him deeper and deeper while he was dressed up, was incredible. That's when he started to let go and moan, higher pitched than his usual sounds, and I started coming right then and there. It was exhilarating. It felt like I was more of myself in that moment, and he was able to show me and fully be another side of himself. We found a look for him that both feels comfortable and doesn't feel like just dressing like a woman for him. It's more of him dressing to express a sexy, feminine side of himself. Black eyeliner and red lips with his crotchless fishnets, his black leather studded collar, and sometimes his chastity cage, which we actually call our wedding jewelry. It's very sexy and signifies my ownership of him and his desire for and surrender to me. In our life, he's very dominant and take charge. In our bedroom, the hottest moments are when I take complete control and direct him. About 2 years ago, I started sending him to play at the sauna, which we playfully called the activity center, with a list of tasks to complete. These tasks can include making a man say, "Oh God," while he had his cock in his mouth. He's incredibly talented with his mouth. Or make a man come while he blew him. He'd have to complete the list in order to come home. He'd get extra points for pics or videos. We've had a few playmates come to play with just him as I watched. It's incredibly hot foreplay. It's not always easy to find a good playmate to put on a show, but when it happens, it's fantastic. What we have learned is that this lifestyle requires a lot of communication. When we take our time and communicate about our fantasies, our desires, some of which we leave in the fantasy zone, and our fears, we get closer to each other and protect our relationship. It makes us a very strong, solid couple that, unless you've experienced it, would seem counterintuitive for a couple that shares themselves sexually with other people. We trust each other completely, never question loyalty or each other's intention, because we both know that we can actually have anything we want with full approval and encouragement. It's incredibly liberating, beautiful, and sexy to share your life with your best friend together as sexual explorers. Best, Domina.
Yes.
And And here is from her partner. You asked for stories about cross-dressing and bisexuality. Mine covers both and more. I'm a 55-year-old pansexual man, married to a 36-year-old woman, and we consider ourselves to be sexual explorers. About 2 weeks after we met, which was about 4 years ago, she asked me if I would ever consider being fucked in the ass by a woman. Well, that's when I knew I had found the one. I had recently separated from a long marriage, during which I had been visiting the gay bathhouses on the down low quite frequently. I enjoyed sucking cock and being fucked, but I most certainly enjoy sex with and the companionship of a woman. We lived in different cities, so we planned a weekend in mine. We booked a hotel, and when she arrived, we sheepishly went to a sex shop, first-timers that we were, and bought our first strap-on, a little tequila as a social lubricant, and we went at it. She fucked me that night, the next morning, and then that afternoon, back in my apartment. I asked for one more for the road, which she eagerly agreed to. Since that magical weekend, we have explored many things. She has locked me in chastity. We have had men join us in our bed, some to fuck her while I watched, some to play with me while she watched, and some to play with us both. She encourages me to explore my feminine side with makeup, nail polish, and dressing. She has made me a cum slut. Whenever I visit the baths, we text and she gives me tasks. Sometimes she suggests that I suck a cock until I get the prize. I was never into cum before, but she has changed me. She has had men over to fuck her while I was out, and then summoned me home to lick her clean, one of my faves. Now this is where it gets interesting. Of all the changes that I have gone through, I now have a pussy. Once I clean up, my bum self-lubricates and is as much a pussy as any vagina. I am a size king and have some serious stamina. The truth is that we have discovered a spot deep inside me, well past my prostate, that when she stimulates it, I fall into a deep subspace trance. I sing, sometimes chant, and on occasion speak in tongues. The length of time that I spend in ecstasy and the amount of cum that comes out of my bum is astonishing. In all situations other than sex, I am what would be considered an alpha male. I carry a strong presence, and when I enter a room, no matter who is in it, my energy is felt. But sexually, I like to receive sex. I like it to be done to me. I am one of those who tops from the bottom. I direct the scene and then fall into my subby self. There are many who scoff at topping from the bottom, but just like the Puritans, it's not for them to judge how I get off. For all those close-minded people who judge others, I feel sad. I have had the best of all worlds. I can fuck my wife vanilla PIV or try on any other sexy hat that I want. We call ourselves sexual explorers, and we are always looking to experiment with new things, new experiences, and scenarios. For your listeners, people, be proud of who you are. As long as what you do is between consenting adults, enjoy. There are no rights and wrongs. There is only what turns you on, and that can change over time. And that's okay, too. Never feel ashamed. Be careful, be smart, be creative, but never ashamed. This is my way of contributing to the pegging community and of thanking you for what you do. Best, Midnight Express, owned and operated by my loving wife. Thank you both for writing in. This is a new thing for me, reading a female's contribution for her partner's cross-dressing. So that was a cool thing. I always really enjoy hearing both sides of the relationships contribute. It's awesome. Thanks so much.
Yes.
I discovered your podcast about a month ago and quickly became an avid fan. It's now a weekly priority to listen to your show, and I always look forward to the next one. I was especially excited to hear that you are preparing a special one on cross-dressing and wanted to respond to your call for submissions. I've been a dabbler in cross-dressing over the last year or so, although I've been a fan for much longer. Since I was a teenager, I've been interested in BDSM and female-led dominance and submission. Needless to say, male-to-female transformation is very much a part of that culture, and I'd slowly become interested in the idea of feminization as a sub-kink of BDSM. About a year ago, I took the plunge and decided to move my dressing beyond just wearing panties to full lingerie outfits, heels, wigs, and makeup, with the goal of trying to be semi-passable. It's been an exciting journey. My initial attraction stemmed from the taboo, the sheer naughtiness and humiliation of cross-dressing. But the more I dressed and worked on my look, I became increasingly interested in forced buy, gender bending, and role reversal of the whole thing. I'd now say that role reversal is at the core of my kink and is what defines it. The biggest turn-on for me is the subversion of traditional gender roles, and this is what attracted me to pegging as well. Having a female partner take the lead and for me to assume the submissive secondary role traditionally assigned to a woman is what fires me up, and this is what has guided my sexual interests for years. Cross-dressing has also helped me gain perspective on the experiences of women in society and also called more attention to the LGBTQ community. Cross-dressing has also led to an increasing curiosity about bisexual play. Let's face it, cross-dressers and trans women are just plain sexy. I also toy with the fantasy of being a submissive number two in a male-male-female threesome. Cross-dressing, although I'm not great at it, helped me articulate that and broadened my horizons. I'm forever grateful. This is my favorite thing about cross-dressing, how it has opened up new worlds to me and enabled so much self-discovery. I also just enjoy feeling sexy, and there's no better way than slipping on a pair of leopard print boy shorts or a silky satin thong along with some thigh highs or fishnets. To me, women's lingerie is an art form, and I consider myself a collector of sorts. I love the intricate details, colors, and textures. Cross-dressing also intersects well with my fetishes for latex and heels. When wearing a schoolgirl skirt, corset, and 5-inch platform heels or knee-high boots, I feel like a geisha, feet bound in delightfully painful footwear and enjoying the constricting feeling of the corset makes me yearn to also be at the end of a leash, hobbling around, unable to escape my mistress. How's that for role reversal? All this being said, I am still very much closeted and haven't dressed in close to a year. The last 8 months or so, I've been dating a truly wonderful woman, and I've really been enjoying the vanilla side of our relationship. So much so that my kinks are nowhere near a priority for me. I'm not sure when, if ever, I'll introduce kink into our love life. Right now, my focus is elsewhere, and I don't feel any pressure to dress or share it with anyone, at least not yet. A quick question, are you familiar with the Bad Dragon products? If so, what are your thoughts? Most look too massive, but they're doing some neato things, and the extraterrestrial nature of their toys is a turn-on. Thank you for your wonderful podcast, and keep them coming, Mike. To answer your question, Mike, I am very familiar with the Bad Dragon products. They are fantastical. That's the best word I can put to it. They're beautiful toys. They're quality toys, 100% silicone. I have to say that my very first knee-jerk reaction, because, you know, the only thing I'm going to be using them for is to peg somebody, is that the surfaces of them are a little too textured, should I say, and sometimes slightly pointy for me to envision that they would be really awesome with pegging. But I have enough fans who have told me that they're really into the Bad Dragon toys that I'm sure that some of them feel quite good. And I know that there's one that sort of semi resembles a cock that's a whole lot less textured and angled. But yes, they are excellent toys and definitely feed the fantasy peggers out there. They're so creative. So thank you for your contribution, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
Dearest Ruby, I saw your call for letters from crossdressers for an upcoming podcast, and I just had to respond. I thought that giving direct answers to your list of questions would be a good way to contribute. So here you go, and thank you so much for all of your wonderful podcasts. You are truly a gem. Do you crossdress publicly? Yes, I have gone out in public twice while fully dressed. I went to my local Walmart and shopped for female clothing and underwear. Do you crossdress erotically? Not really. I don't usually get aroused when cross-dressing. The thought and act of actual cross-dressing is mentally arousing, but not sexually. It is more about becoming as femme as possible. This is what makes it so exciting. What is your favorite part of cross-dressing? Looking and acting like a female is absolutely the best part. This includes actually playing the part of a woman while having sex with a man. That is the ultimate cross-dressing pleasure, and it is something I have done a few times. What is your least favorite part? Having to hide all of my femme clothing and makeup and not being able to come out to friends and family. What about cross-dressing makes you the happiest? Becoming and feeling like a woman, transforming myself into the other gender, then playing the part of a female during sex is incredible. Then mentally replaying it later while masturbating is very sensual. How long have you been a cross-dresser? I have been cross-dressing since about age 5. My mother got me started when she had me model a dress that she bought for my female cousin. From that time, I was hooked. I began dressing in any little girl clothing I could find. My girl cousin of the same age lived next to me. When no one was around, I would sneak into her room and try on her underwear. When we both hit puberty, I was in heaven. She started wearing bras, and so did I. Panties, stockings, short skirts, heavenly stuff to a horny little adolescent. Funny that with all my cross-dressing throughout my life, I never got caught. Do you have support from a partner, friends, or family? None of my family or friends know about my little hobby. I have met men who share my passion, but I don't have any steady partners. It's just a private me thing. Love forever, Christy. Thank you for writing in, Christy.
Yes.
You have reached the end of part one of podcast number 182, the special Crossdressers podcast. Proceed to part two and click the button and listen to more stories.